Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. Wait one minute. Oh, no. 2 minutes. We have a technical problem on this thing. It's saying I have 2 minutes left. Oh, God have mercy. I don't know what happened. That's just demonic. Oh, my God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I got to teach this live. Lord, I bind up this spirit that took this thing and pushed the time backwards to 1 minute and 59 seconds. I had this thing at 8:30 exactly. And I want everybody to stand by. I got to try to find a way to... Jesus of Nazareth. It's too late. I'm in the room. Episode. Okay, I'm going to have to go with what I got, brothers and sisters. I'm so sorry. I got to go into the... I have to go into the live streaming. Stand by, please. We're having a lot of technical difficulties.
Okay. The devil messed the thing, messed it all up. Don't want to teach that.
Stand by. Oh, Jesus of Nazareth. Father. Stand by, please. Stand by. Stand by, please. We're having technical difficulties. Please pray. I'm having difficulties. I can't even get into the room. Disconnected. It's happening now. It's happening now. Disconnect this event. I'm coming under heavy attack, brothers and sisters. Y'all pray. I'm really coming under attack. Jesus of Nazareth. Rodriguez.
Yes, sir.
Hello. Can you just talk for me? I got to turn mine off and turn mine back on. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Can Brother John?
Yeah.
I just need someone to talk to the audience while I do this technical work. If someone can just talk to people, just let the Lord move on someone. Brother John, just talk to them. I have a technical problem. I have to turn all these controls off and turn it back on.
Okay. Tell me when.
Hang on. Wait. Okay, go ahead on. Go.
Good evening, everybody. This is Chaplain John Durden. I'm trying to just talk with you for a few minutes. Brother Emmett's technologies are being attacked by those demons. They got the thing messing around where he was originally scheduled for an hour and a half, and now those demons mess with the terminals and everything else, and the thing says, you got a minute and a half. Now, he can't teach what he wanted to teach for an hour and a half in 2 minutes. So he just told me just to talk to you for a few minutes till he gets up and running. Well, I'd like to take the time to talk about him. A lot of you don't know him, and you wonder how he get to teach like he's teaching. And a lot of you think, I was telling him what to say, and I was writing his sermons and these kinds of things. No, that's not what happened. He's from that old school like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where they didn't have any education. But God looked on those men's heart and called them into the ministry. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were fishermen. So Luke was the only physician, but he was a doctor of medicine, not a theologian. But God used Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Didn't have any schooling in theology whatsoever. He looks on the heart. He looks at our spirit. And that's what happened about 17 years ago. Brother Emmett tried to commit suicide. And he called my number. This what happened. I was a counselor with Trinity Broadcasting Network ministry at the time. And when he called in, I was the only counselor that was present that day. And when I answered the phone, I said, good evening. May I help you, please, and pray for you? This is Brother John. And he said, okay, man, I don't want no prayer. I just want you to tell God I can be successful. I'm trying to kill myself. And I go, oh, my God, I got a case on this phone. So whatever. He said, hey, I said, pray for me. I said, do you know Jesus? Hey, look, I didn't ask to speak to no Jesus. I used to talk about no Jesus. I just want to be successful. I tried to commit suicide 3 times, and I failed. I said, what do you do? Well, I went out the backyard, took my K-47, and pulled the trigger, and it wouldn't go off. Now, mind you, I'm an expert with weapons because I was in the Navy, I was in the Marines, and I was on the top dogs everywhere I went in the military, and I was in the Marine Corps. And he says, and so would you just pray for me, man? I don't want to hear nothing about no Jesus. I just pray that I'd be successful. I said, and then I said, Lord, and then I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, what should I say? And the Lord said, lead him to me. I'll tell you what to say. And I was just being led by the Spirit of God, you know. And I says, sir, he says, I want to kill myself. No, 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 you don't want to do that. And he says, why not? I said, because you can bust hell wide open. He says, no, I ain't killing nobody. I'm just talking about me committing suicide. I said, that's killing of oneself. He said, I didn't look at it that way, sir. So to make a long story short, he accepted Christ that night when he spoke with me. And I went over to his house. The Lord said, go to his house because he's there by himself. And I went over to his house and prayed with him and fellowship with him and took him out to eat, you know, because he, like I said, he was a gangster. Took him out to get something to eat. And then we came back, and I spent the whole night with him. And then I told him where I work and everything else, and I was surprised the following morning who comes walking in my office at the hospital was Brother Emmett Overton. So I fellowship
okay.
with him.
I'm back.
Good.
Okay. Brothers and sisters, we're going to have to reschedule tonight at 12 midnight. There are some technical problems. I'm going to still try to go on right now. It says stream left 1 minute and 51 seconds, but I'm going to go on faith. We're going to bind these demons, and we're going to stay on air. I come against these spirits in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I take the authority by the blood of Jesus of Nazareth to tell these demonic spirits to get off this computer, leave it alone, go in Jesus' name. Go. Stand by. Thank you for your patience, brothers and sisters. The devil really don't want this out. I ain't never came against this much fierce resistance. Hang on, wait 1 minute. I have to try to go live with the YouTube now. Set up live video. Timetable. Post to your manager. Oh boy. Stand by. Okay, stand by, please. Go live. Boy. Post what time? Post to your manager. Title. Okay, hang on. Stand by. Thank you for all your patience. I hope everyone's praying. Okay, I'm going to just have to go without it. I'm going to have to do two sermons. But after I get off here, I got to go into doing a live one on Facebook. Okay, we're getting started. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, how God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and who went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil because God was with them. Holy Spirit, come, use me as your oracle, allow the power of God to use me to speak to the hearers. In Jesus of Nazareth's name, we pray. Amen. Okay, last night we talked about children's deliverance, and we're going to be dealing with children tonight. And I got two men here who have set a wonderful example, and being a father is being a protector of your children spiritually. I didn't know this, and my mother and father didn't know it either. So I'm going to start with Chaplain Durden, and then I'm going to pass it the baton on to Brother Baker, one of the pastors here on staff, and then we're going to look into this teaching on deliverance for children. We'll start it off with Chaplain John Durden.
Good evening, everybody. Again, this is Brother John. He talked about our children. It just so happened I've been blessed because I personally had led all three of my children to the Lord. And what happened was, he told me he wanted me to teach him the commandments, want me to teach him about the books of the Bible and stuff like that and talk about the Lord. And let me tell you something. My oldest daughter, you know, her mother started telling her about the Lord, and God had me to minister to her. And what I did was I sat down and told her about how I've been praying for her that she would get saved and kind of a thing. And she said, Daddy, I want to be saved. And I was shocked. I said, Lord, you really answered my prayer. So she jumped in my lap, and I said, sweetheart, repeat this prayer after me. I think she was 7 years old at the time. And she said the salvation prayer, and she's been loving the Lord ever since. She never turned her back on the Lord. She loves the Lord more than anything else. And even to this day, you know, she's in her 50s, and she talked to the Lord. She fellowship in the evenings, you know, and talked to him. I said, wow, man. And God says, yep, I wanted you to teach your children. And so, and then the other two, they're now 40 and 43. I mean, 43 and 45, I'm sorry. And God had me to lead them to the Lord. And I says, all right, we're going to have Bible study first thing in the morning. This is where we go to school. It only take about 10 minutes. And one morning I teach the Ten Commandments. And next morning, I just emit commandment number one, number two, number three, number four, daily, you know, kind of a thing. And not only that, but I talked to them about Bible characters, you know, about the apostles and so forth, and told them what their task was and how they were called into the ministry. And then they said, Daddy, we want to be saved. And I said, all right. I say, John, what you need to do to be saved? He was only 5 years old at the time. And he said, I'm a good boy. So I explained what salvation was and make the story short. And he accepted Christ as the personal Lord and Savior. And it was too cute because I said, go ahead and get in the room and ask God to come into your heart and ask forgiveness of your sins. And he went down to the hall, down the hall And the wife and I were standing at the, on the outside of the door, and tickle us what he said. He said, "Lord Jesus," my daddy said, "I got to accept you as my Lord and Savior, and I got to believe that you're the Son of God." And so I believe that you're Son of God, and I always believe in you, Jesus, because my daddy always talked about you. He said, "So, Lord Jesus, I want to be saved. Come into my heart." Now, this would tickle us. He said, "Lord Jesus," he invited the Lord to come into his heart. He says, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior, like Daddy said I got to do." And he said, hold up, Lord Jesus. You know, and I said, "What is this boy going to say?" And he didn't know we were peeping through the door. Then he said, "Now, Daddy said I got to accept you in my heart. Now, you got to remember, Jesus, I'm just a little boy. I'm just 5 years old. Now, I'm going to ask you to come into my heart like my daddy said I should do. But I want you to know one thing. Remember, I'm just a little boy, and you're a grown man. So would you please, please, please be careful when you come into my heart?" Me and the wife were still out laughing. He said, "Before you come into my heart, you got to remember, I'm just a little boy, so please be careful because you're a grown man. You're bigger than me," kind of a thing. And then my daughter, the other one, Candace, and she said, "I don't want to go to hell by myself, Daddy." She was 7 years old. And I said, "Well, you know what you need to do?" She said, "Uh-huh." She ran down her bedroom. And then she said the prayer. She said, "I'm sorry for all my sins, Lord Jesus. Daddy say that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so I ask you to come in my heart, too. I believe you who the Bible says you are the Son of God. So I ask you to forgive me all my sins in Jesus' name." And she accepted Christ. And then when she did that, and then I felt led by the Lord to baptize her. An inner voice says, "Now baptize your child." And he went and got that bathing suit, came back out, and I dunk him in the bathtub, and I say, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." And then the Lord says, "I'm glad you did that, son." He says, "I have a purpose and plan for their life." And I go, "Praise the Lord." And all two of them grew up without any problems, never been in any jail. And they just love on the Lord. We always had our Bible study. Start off just saying the books of the Bible each day, each morning. And next thing I knew, they was going to college. And then my daughter surprised and says, the younger daughter, Candace, she says, I want to major in religion." I go, "Yeah, you can get something else, honey. You can do something else." Maybe I can be an evangelist or something. Dad, I said, "Well, if that's what you think your calling is." But she went. But when she got there and the teacher started talking about, I mean, he was a heretic. The guy didn't know his Bible. He was teaching all kind of junk, unbelief. He said, "Daddy, I'm glad you've taught me the word of God." Because God could be a lady. Nobody knows for sure if God is a mother or father. And that's the prejudice of the writers, saying that our father. And he said, "I remember what you told me." I said, "What did I tell you?" "Well, I remember when you said that when that preacher in the classroom said that Jesus was God could have been a mother. It's no such thing as this father. He could have been a mother. So because we don't know for sure, we're going to refer to God," talking about the teacher told in the class at the school. Says, we pray like this. We just say, "Our Father, Mother," and then we go into the prayer. We just say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." We say, "Our Father, Mother, which art in heaven." And she said, "You know what I did?" I said, "What did you do, sweetheart?" She said, "I called him a hypocrite, walked out, and dropped that class, and then I majored in communication." So that's how you got in communication. Yeah. Then she doesn't know what you're talking about. And you know, I corrected him, too. I said, "How did you do it?" She said, "Oh, you don't know if Jesus is a God, is a mother, a father?" "That's right. Nobody knows." She said, "Well, I think, don't you think Jesus ought to know since he's the Son of God?" "Well, what you mean?" "You remember when they asked Jesus to teach them to pray, some of the apostles?" "Yes, I remember that." "And what did Jesus say?" "Oh, it's simple, simple prayer." He said, "Our Father, which art in heaven." He said, "Hold up here. He said, "What did he say? Did he say our father, our mother, or what did he say?" He said, "Our Father." Well, I got out, Daddy, and I didn't want to hear no more what he had to say, and I majored in communication. So she's a marketing executive now with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. She's a co-worker with Brother Emmett. She speaks in tongues. She teaches, you know, that Bible inside. God personally taught her the Bible. Personally taught her. She know that Bible inside out.
And we are on air live with Facebook. I finally got on. Brother John, thank you so much.
My pleasure, my brother. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Chaplain, thank you so much. Brother Rodriguez Baker, that's your testimony of you being a father.
Yes, sir. Yes, definitely. being a father for me is very, it's a beautiful thing. It's also challenging, but it's more beautiful. It's more good than the bad. You know, it's, I really believe they are a blessing from the Lord. It's teaching me a lot. It's teaching me a lot about myself. What I try to do is with my children, I really try to stand on the standards of the Word of God. That's what I really try to do. I really try to lead by an example, you know, to my children based off as the prophet, the priest, and the head of my household. So I try to show my children, you know, teach them the standards of the Word of God. I also am a firm believer in not only teaching, but also showing at an early age. I have a 10-year-old, I have a 6-year-old, and I have a 4-year-old. I also have a baby boy on the way as well. So what I do is I lead by an example. I do stuff like with my children. I pray with them as they sleep through the night. I play the word so they can hear the words of their spirits, because I believe that as we sleep, our spirit is still up soaking, you know, whatever our spirit is feeding on. So I let the word of God play as they sleep, so their spirit is really eating and soaking in their spirit and their souls. What I do also with my children, I keep them in church. My children love church. They love to go to church. They never, like, not want to go. I have communion with my children. I try to have communion with my children at least twice a month. They love that. I sit down, I explain to them what we're doing, what it's about. I teach my children how to pray. To pray, they lay hands. They know how to lay hands. I can tell my children to go and pray for an individual, and the first time they'll do that, they will go over and lay hands on you and start praying, because, you know, that's the seed that I'm planting in them. I'm also firm believing, I ask the Holy Ghost every day that I'm in prayer. When I pray for my children, I pray and ask the Holy Ghost to give my children conviction, especially with all the negative, ungodly influences in the world today. I ask that you give my children conviction, you know, because I understand as a parent, I won't be able to be there for everything, to protect them from everything. But I know that the presence of the Lord will be. So I also pray and ask the Holy Ghost to have mercy on my children, you know, to, you know, not let them suffer for the sins of the fathers, sins of their mothers, you know, things that I've done, their mother's done, grandparents done. And I just teach them. Like 2 weeks ago, my daughter, she came to me and asked me about prayer because she said, "Dad, I want to learn how to pray and pray in tongues." So I've been teaching my children how to pray in tongues lately. So they're very excited about the things of God. So that's my thing, is just to plant those seeds in them so as they grow, you know, it develops. You know, that seed, God manifests that seed through them that I plant in them. You know, because I really want them to be usable vessels for Christ. I really desire a bloodline of men and women of God that comes from my lineage. And then I really believe that's the responsibility of parents to really instill those, the proper values, godly values, true values of the word, and wisdom, and being led by the Spirit, you know, to teach them. You know, it's a lot of things they don't understand. It's a lot of things they're not going to like when I tell them no to certain things, no to things they can't listen to, no to things they can't watch on TV, no to certain people they can't hang with and go to certain people's houses. They don't understand that, but I understand it's my responsibility as a parent to protect them mentally, physically, and spiritually. You know, they may appear, children can appear to be okay physically, but spiritually, they can be heavily attacked. And I know that the devil, he don't have no mercy on children just because they're children. If anything, he wants them more. He reached out to them more. So with all the negative influences that's going on in the world, you know, especially when I have girls, I definitely make it my business to really take pride in protecting their minds and their spirits and their souls. So my next thing now is to, you know, baptize my children, you know, in the tub. So I think I'm going to do that this weekend. I'm going to sit down with him and explain to him what that's about. And then because the Lord put that on my heart, like a month ago, you know, to baptize my children. So I'm going to do that. So what I do, I just pretty much, you know, lead by example, man, and then I let the Lord take it from there.
You know, Rodriguez, I met you when you didn't even have any children, and I seen how faithful you've been to the ministry. I remember when Brother John used to pick you up, and now you have three children and a son on the way, and you have a wonderful house, a wonderful family. Brother John, I'm proud of both of you. I'm glad that both of you are in my life. Both of you are my best friends. I love both of you, and I thank the Lord. We now streaming on our YouTube. The Holy Spirit fixed it. God is good, isn't he? We are now streaming on you, on our Facebook, and we are now streaming with Live Deliverance and our Blog Talk. Okay, now those are the examples that we have from two Christian men. Let's look at scriptures concerning children. Now, do you realize, I want all of you to realize that children can make other children cease from fearing the Lord. That is in the Bible. Now, I'm going to be showing you things that you probably never heard of, never saw before. I got this revelation last night at Brother Rodriguez's house. That's where I got this from. And he woke me up, and when Rodriguez came, I was on the couch, and I was getting a lot of revelation from the Holy Spirit. And I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 22. You have to be watch who your children be around, because this scripture shows you children can make other children cease from fearing the Lord. I didn't know that, and God showed that to me. And that's in Joshua chapter 22. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 22. And let's see what it's at in the book of Joshua. So we're going to go to Joshua chapter 22. Take your time, because I got to find it myself. And we're going to go to verse 25. For the Lord had made Jordan a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben and children of Gad. Ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make your children cease from fearing the Lord. That's in the Bible. And when I saw this, I said, Lord Jesus, children can influence other children to cease from fearing God. And I said, Lord, how can this happen? Jordan. Now look at this. For the Lord had made Jordan a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben and children of Gad, ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make your children cease from fearing the Lord. Be very careful of who your children fellowship with. Now, yesterday, I'm going to do some recapitulation. My mentor, Derek Prince, has taught me to teach recapitulation. And recapitulation, because you could miss something. So last night, we talked about briefly, going to go very quickly, because we got to get up to par where we lost some time. And I thank God for fixing this. I thank the Holy Spirit for fixing it. God is good. We talked about demons can be in a boy. That's in Mark chapter 9, verse 14 through 29. We talked that demons can be in a girl. That's in Mark chapter 7, verse 26 and 29. We talked that demons can be in a man, Luke chapter 8, 27. Demons can be in a woman, Mark chapter 16, verse 19. Also Luke 8, 43. Demons can be in an animal, Mark chapter 5, 9, 10, 11, and 12. They can vex a daughter. The daughter was vexed with a devil, daughter, a child, a girl, Matthew 15, 22. Demons in a child delivered the child to his father. When Jesus cast out demons, he always delivered to the father, because the father is the head of the house. Don't take your children and put your children and buy them a video game and stick them in the room and just leave them in there. You're going to really have some demons if you don't watch what they're watching. So be very, very, very cautious of that. Now, deliverance for children, a good general list of demons. Find out the child's problems by talking to the parents. If the child have a problem, doing deliverance, bring the parents with you for the deliverance minister. But for the ordinary husband, I don't want you to depend on the deliverance minister. I want you to depend on the Lord. Get in the word. Learn this to protect your children. You are the prophet, priest, king of your home, 1 Corinthians 10. Keep things in order. Now, we're going to talk about gates of how demons can enter children. And ordinary children are, and how these things can attach them even before they was born, because we was born in sin. And in sin, demons dwell with. So let's look at some of these things here concerning gates of wrong gender. Some people put pressure on their children, and some people get mad that their child is not the gender that they want it to be. So putting me to share this, because there's some people out there who's dealing with this right now. Matter of fact, I got a case with me and Sister Durden with about three families that's very angry at the wrong gender. A common example of an unwanted child syndrome is where a child is born that is not of the gender that was desired by one of both parents. An example is the mother who wanted a son for her husband and consequently either hates or blames her daughter for being the wrong sex, who dresses and treat them like girls if she was a boy. Some wives and husbands feel they need a male heir to somehow reinforce their bloodline. This dissatisfaction expressed on perhaps a felt of loneliness, rejection toward the father or mother of not desiring what they desire toward the sex of the child causes confusion within the child as to his or her proper role. That child will understand and feel that spirit because you're one with that child. Confusion and frustration can open the doors to Satan's deception and homosexuality and lesbianism. Sometimes it only takes a half remark such as, why couldn't you have been like the daughter that I always wanted? That opens up the door. Or, why couldn't you have been the son I always wanted? And you tell a child that. We've seen many children and fathers do that to their children through this ministry. We've had a lot of extensive experience with this. I just don't say anything until the appropriate time to teach it. And God put this out that a lot of people out here need to understand that the problems that your child having and the behavior problems comes from demons, and they inheriting your demons, and you're not doing anything about it, letting them watch what they want to watch, letting them look at what they want to look. Me and Rodriguez was just watching Michael King. The brother got up and turned the scriptures on for his children, and they were hearing the word all the way that they got up in the morning. That will go up on in his house. Anoint his children with oil. Do you men out here do that? That's your responsibility. You being cruel, such a one is very distraught the girl's life. If you've been the son I wanted to give you, why didn't you become that? And then the person wars within themselves with their identity. And a refined young lady named Cora came to see me and Sister Durden one day, and she was dressed up like a man. And the Lord revealed to me her mother was angry at her for being a girl. So she became a lesbian and still got more rejection. So be very, very careful when you have a child. Make sure that you are delivered. Whatever God give you, you take what God give you, as long as it's healthy and blessed. He will give you what he want to give you. But there are people that get upset that go through this scenario and open up nothing but doors to children. Okay, let's deal with spirits of abandonment in children. How do spirits of abandonment get into children? One of the most common spirits we have found, me and Sister Durden, that troubles children, especially these children who have been adopted, is that the spirit of abandonment comes in the adopted child. Now, we have dealt with four adopted children in this ministry. And boy, that spirit was heavy on this child. And I asked the Lord, how did this child get this spirit? Well, first of all, it's not the biological father or mother, and it has to connect to the person. By them not knowing each other and adopting the child, going through this process, a lot of loneliness takes place within the child. Now you got demons of depression, loneliness, mistrust, rejection, are constantly filling in that vapor hole. As that child going through this process of finding someone to live with or live with someone else and went to another house, this opened up nothing but doors of child molestation. It opens up doors of alcoholism. It opens up doors of drugs, and it really destroys the child if there's no really deliverance being made at an early age. Catch it. If you are a parent, don't see your child, if you wanted a boy and you got a girl, you get that out of your heart and don't let that child discern that. Because if that child discern that, you're going to open up a door of rejection to that child. And rejection is the most powerful spirit on this earth. Jesus felt that same spirit attack him because he was rejected by his own, but it never possessed him and never got into him. It attacked him. He dealt with it. Jesus was rejected because the Jews rejected him. Give us Barabbas. So rejection really gets in there, and then it opens up a whole lot of other doors. This is the one of the strongest roots fears that we're encountered, stronger than rejection. But it goes deeper than rejection. It is strong because it is merely a matter of rejection. Somebody don't like me. Or tells the person within me, I don't have no one to love me. And when that child hears that, rejection get in that child, just as when a woman is pregnant. You husbands, be very careful. Don't holler and scream. That child is sensitive to everything that's going on. That child is connected. If that woman 4 and 5, 6 months, that's the time where demons really manifest. Start praying and praying. Lay hands on your wife. Pray over your wife. Speak against them demons and bind them and break curses. Amen. The fear of abandonment is actually a fear of death. If the pattern, if the parents don't love the child, or if the child perceives an absence of love and sense abandonment, these demons will arise within the child. Then when abandonment comes in, the oppressed spirit depresses the child and brings rejection to the child, and the child eventually wind up getting on drugs. I've seen people tell me their childhood, and then I have connected with drugs. I have connected it with drugs in this ministry. When people are rejected, they are trying to find a solution to be loved, and they turn to opiates, they turn to drugs, they turn to abusive behavior, and most are sexual being abused because they're still trying to please someone, even if they're being abused. So this is a very, very powerful, powerful spirit. Don't abandon your children. Don't show abandonment. Show love. 1 Corinthians 13, show kindness and patience, but do not allow that spirit to transfer into your child. Gates of divorce. We're going to look at gates of divorce. Divorce brings a lot of demonic spirits to children. Children who have gone through divorce experience pain and anguish that they cannot understand, much less explain or put into words. For this reason, they may seem silent and withdraw or display more overt behaviors. Parents of an only child should encourage early and frequently play with the other child to teach and to share the kindness social reaction that will normally be learned through life with siblings. But when divorce gets in there, and the father is separated from the mother, and the son no longer has a father. Now the son, who's the oldest, he normally gets the spirit of manipulation and control because he's the offspring of that child, of that father. And now what he does is emulate his father to manipulate the mother so he can get away with what he wants because he has no spiritual authority covering over him because there's no father. Same as with a child. The mother can have a child and raise this child, divorce, and the child was young, but the mother says negative things to this child about the father. Your father was nothing. You look like your father. You act like your father. Or tell the son, you look just like your mama. You know, my mother would really do that to me, and it didn't bother me because I really didn't see my father a lot. He was a Vietnam War veteran. He was in Special Forces, and he was in the Army. He was constantly moving around. I was with him when he was around me, and then he left and he go. So I saw my father come backwards and forward, but I did have a father. But when you get divorced, those spirits come in there, and when a person gets divorced, two couples should still work together in harmony with the child. Be seen with the child, even though you put your disagreements away. The Bible says, how can two come together unless they agree, according to Amos 3:3? Agree with your divorced wife. Agree with your divorced husband. for the what? Love of that child. So that child can see the unity of mother and father. Even though if they're not with them, you can still stand in the gap. And God has told me to tell Christians to do that. Just because you're divorced, don't leave that child. Feed that child the word of God. You're the father of that child. Keep an open dialogue with the child's mother. Because children, it's impossible for a woman to be a man and a woman. And this is the problem that we got very heavily, especially in the African-American community, where fathers have abandoned their children. And even in some areas of Jamaica, I see a whole lot of that. Men, too, got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 children. Then got 4 or 5 of other children, just popping babies, shooting out sperm shooters, and don't do anything spiritually for these children. We don't need that. This is why the devil is running rampant in this generation. Okay, let's look at children after divorce. We're going to deal with children after divorce. There's a lot that goes on in a child's emotions after divorce. How often we hear the complaint that an ex-husband or an ex-wife, undesirable traits of manifestation in a child or children were abandoned. It is not uncommon to discover lying, deception, and manipulation being manifested by the children, especially as a child approached teenager years. These spirits have usually been in operation in the often past, hidden through the father of the sins of the bloodline, according to Lamentations 5:7. Our fathers are sinned, and we abhor their iniquities. Another key is the spirits to confront it is to avoid love and bring separation to disharmony, to open up coldness to the child. And this happens when divorce is over. These spirits really get into the child. The loneliness get into them. So you have to be very cautious when you're going through a divorce, because when that child get in that room, you ain't in there, and you don't know what the imaginations of demons are telling that child. You have to be very cautious with that. When people get divorced, most times, 9 times out of 10, they do not think about the child. They just want to get the relationship over with, and the poor child is stuck without a spiritual headship. That has to stop. Amen. That has to stop immediately. Ordinarily, children are quite easily delivered. Since the spirits have not been there very long, they are not as deeply embodied in the flesh. So what Rodriguez is doing, he's doing deliverance on his children now. And they're young. And they're speaking in tongues. So if you have a child, teach them deliverance. Learn about it to get the spirits out of them, so when they get older and them spirits in there, they're hard to get out. These things get rooted in your personality. They get rooted in your life. They get embedded and they sink. And it's like cement. And the only thing can break up that foul ground, according to Hosea 10:12, is the sword of the spirit. You got to do a lot of reading. You got to pray. You got to cut the demons out. These come out by what? That of fasting and prayer, by his word, Matthew 8:16. You have to get it out. When a child's young, that's the good time to get the word in them, to implement them about the Holy Spirit. I didn't have my mother and father tell me about this. These children that Rodriguez have, they're blessed because they are growing up in an environment of deliverance. And that's a blessing. There are expectations of this in certain cases of children who have been exposed to demonic attacks. Throughout several circumstances, the manifestation of demons can quite be dramatic in children to stop the mother or father to get deliverance. It want to shut it down. It just not, oh, my, y'all hurt my child. And stop it. Y'all stop it. We had to do that. They said, stop it. Cut it off. That child was screaming so loud, it was hurting my ear. And the Lord was telling me, the demon is using the voice. Stop the voice. I said, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, I command you, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Stop hollering with her. And when she stopped, the lady calmed down. That happens a lot with children. When a person's going carrying a child through deliverance, this demon scream louder. That's to get the mother, especially the mother, because the mother are more emotional than men. Men are more structural. But yet women are more sensitive to that, and they get vulnerable, and they say, well, honey, that's enough of my baby. We'll go back next week. And then the devil had them going somewhere else, and he choked the word out of them. I done seen that happen thousands of times. Don't let it happen to you. As young Christians have to understand that we need to teach our children these things.
and expose our children to this so that they can get free. How do infants and children keep themselves free from demons once they are delivered? They are not to protect themselves. It is not the responsibility of the child, but the parents and guardians. I believe you will find this in Scripture, that when Jesus ministered to the children, one of both parents was present. If it is the responsibility of the parents, it is their responsibility to be spiritual guardians over their children, not your local pastor, not the associate pastor, not the music department, but you, prophet, priest, king of the house. That's your job. Some people may say that children do not need deliverance. I cannot be disagreed more. Parents have solemn responsibilities to provide protection for their offspring in a manner of spiritual warfare. But if the parents don't know anything about this, because of my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge over Hosea 4:6, they don't have no revelation of it. It's not taught in the church. It's not taught in the church. This is what I'm saying. It is not taught in the church. The devil, I was battling to get on tonight. I was battling to get on, and I got on. The Holy Spirit got me on, and we win. Also, people affected with that has children that deals with the occult, if the mother and father are getting involved with that and these children see that, they're going to emulate it, and that's going to pass down to them, and those are generational curses, spirit, because God does not want the children to go through the path of the fire or to worship idols. 1 John 5:21 said, my dear children, present thyself away from all idols. God does not want children to get involved with idol worship, but children do. By what? Watching their parents. Now, if the parents not saved, there can not be no deliverance for the child. How? The mother and father is not saved into the kingdom of God. This only applies for the believer. This does not apply for a person who don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because the children is bred is for the Christians. The deliverance ministry is for Christians only. It is not good to do a deliverance or an exorcism in a child if that child is not saved, because the Bible says we have two kingdoms, Matthew 12:26 and 12:28, either or. So you have to make sure that that person is born again and saved. Do not do a deliverance with a child if he or she is not saved. Don't do it. Now, I'm going to say something that most people don't get into, and it needs to be taught, because children can transfer spirits. Is transfer of spirits biblical in the Bible? Yes, it is. One of the most powerful and influential strategies used by the enemy is transfer of spirits. Recognizing of this strategy will answer many questions concerning the negative charges and spirits that sometimes see in people. Transfer of spirits refers to someone assuming the character, mannerism, attitudes, and motives of another. And this is how these demons get transferred into these children. These children grew up, I met a woman that was a prostitute she started prostituting at 16. And I said, where did you get this from? She said, my mother. She transferred that spirit at 16. She got saved, and thank God she broke the curse, and she's doing well now. The actions of each brother exhibit a central spirit. For example, a gentle spirit, a spirit, or a rebellion spirit. This spirit can be influenced by spiritual forces of good or evil in the child and can be transferred to other people on a personal group basis if you open the door and don't have no armor on. Carefully select your associates. The book of Proverbs warns us that danger is associated with those who have the wrong spirit. Now, if your children have people who have the wrong spirit, you don't need your children around them. Let's look at the scriptures based on that. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24. Proverbs 22:24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. So if your children around other children who are angry and furious, they have transferred that to their fathers and parents who's not saved and got that in their children, and hear your children running around with that. You have to be careful who you're, and I really respect what Brother Rodriguez do. He told me there was two gay women that had a daughter, and he said his daughters wanted to go over there. They said, no, y'all ain't going over there. He's protecting his child. And no demon can't get on no child. If the father say that, Jesus sees that. And God will honor that with that man because he's protecting his child. And even if the child's playing with the other child, the demon's not going to attack it because the father's faith is protecting the child. Oh, ye of little faith. The father's faith is protecting the child. Let's go to Proverbs 4:14. Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. When you are with your children, do you know the parents? Do you know if they're evil? Do you know the wife? Have you sat down and talked to them? Have you discerned what type of person they is that your child is going to because of transfer of spirits? Got to be careful. Before we study of spirits, Satan attacks our spirits for one reason. God created our spirits. And this is why he don't like children. Because if he can destroy a child, he can destroy a generation. In Zechariah 12:1, it says, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel said, the Lord, which stretches forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. This is why Satan do not like mankind, because of the spirit of man that lives. And when God tells the woman and the husband to go produce and have children, don't you think that this is the battleground that the devil starts with? In our childhood, everything starts. And it is based on our childhood of how successful we become as adults. I have witnessed this through the ministry of deliverance. It is the spirit that gives life, for the body without the spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead, James 2:26. At death, the spirit returns to God. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it in accordance to Ecclesiastes 12:7. This is why Satan attacks human spirits, because he hates Christ, and we caught up in it. God is Lord of our spirit. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregations, Numbers 27:16. God weighs or judges our spirit. All the way of a man are pure, but in his own eyes. But the Lord weighs the spirits, Proverbs 16:2. Don't you see now that your child is vulnerable to demonic attack? I'm getting a lot of hits saying, a lot of women really hit me. And the wives jumping on this. Because you men need to sit in your position. You men need to do what Brother Baker doing. God wants to preserve our spirit in holiness until the return of Jesus Christ. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, children have a spirit, children have a soul, children have a body, be presented blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 5:24. God speaks to us in our spirit. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Romans 8:16. And if God speaks to our spirit and Satan attacking a child in their spirit, how can they communicate to God? That's the blockage way that the devil used in a child in their childhood to keep away from Jesus. Oh, have mercy. The human spirit is the innermost part of us. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner parts of his heart, Proverbs 20, verse 27. God acknowledges a person within a humble spirit, but on this one I will look on him who is poor and of a contrary spirit and who trembles at my words. Do you teach your children that? Isaiah 66:2. God lives with a person who has a humble spirit, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, who name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy places with him who has a contrary and humble spirit to relieve the spirit of humbleness. When you teach that and when a child sees that, it really blocks demons from your child. Is transfer of spirit scriptural? The powerful anointing of God upon Moses was transferred from him to other elders. Now let's look at that. Because I have to show you in the Bible that transfer of spirits is biblical. Again, the powerful anointing of God upon Moses was transferred from him to other leaders, just as well as the husband can transfer his power and his authority to teach his wife, to teach his son, to teach his children how to serve God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Satan wants to take the husband out of the game of being the head and have you to believe that the pastor is the one who's running the show. So you go and you'll listen to him and won't listen nothing to your husband say, but yet you're going to him saying he's your covering. You husbands, you wives, that pastor's not your covering. The one you said I do with and you sleep with is your covering. And a lot of women don't want to receive that, and they open up the door of Jezebel within the child and the Ahab coming the son, because the father inherits the spirit from his father, and it's a transfer of spirit. This cycle just go on and on and on until it's broken. Now let's go to Numbers chapter 11, verse 16. The book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. And we're going to go to verse 16 and 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down, and I will talk with thee. There I will take of the spirit. Here's transfer of spirits. I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bearest it not thyself alone. That is scriptural basis of transfer of spirits. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70. Now this word 70 is a very powerful number in the ministry of deliverance, because Jesus of Nazareth sent out 70 in Luke 10:17, and now we see here, the Lord God said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit, I'm going to put it in something else, which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. That's transfer of spirits biblically. Moses sent 12 men to spy out the land that God promised to Israel. The count of that is in Numbers chapter 13, verse 17, and Numbers chapter 14, verse 39. 10 of these spies returned with a negative report. They told of the great wall and the cities and the powerful enemies within the land. They transferred a spirit of fear and unbelief to the rest of God's people. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against thee, for they are stronger than we. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we so were in the sight. That's in Numbers 13:31. Israel failed to obey the command of God. Subsequently, many did not see the promised land. But two of the spies had a different spirit. Now watch this. Transfer of spirit is biblical. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Jerubbaal, the son of Jehoiada, who were among those who had spied out the land, told their clothes and spoke to all the congregation of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an excellent, good land. If the Lord delights in us, then will bring us into the land and give it to us, and a land which flows with milk and honey. By my servant, Joseph had a different spirit in him, and he followed me fully. I will bring unto him the land which he went, and his descendants shall inherit. That he transferred righteousness, that spirit of righteousness, that righteous spirit was transferred. So transfer of spirit is biblical. Two different spirits were seeking to control the people. One was the spirit of unbelief, the other was the spirit of belief. The chasmen quitted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possessions, for we are well able to overcome it, Numbers 13:30. But look how the negative spirit of the 10 spies affected the people. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we have died in the land of Egypt, or if only we have died in the wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fail by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? That spirit of negativity transferred to them and got on them and had them to act like this and say this. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Numbers 14:1-4. I want to go back to that because of that transfer of spirit. These were the spirits of despair, murmuring, and rebellion transferred among God's people. People were not kept out of the promised land because of the inferior army, because of the wrong spirit. Moses had the wrong spirit of anger. God was not going to let him bring that spirit into Israel when he's creating a land for the children of Israel. Why were the people affected by the evil spirit instead of the good one? Our sin nature tends to immediately accept and believe any evil report. And if we tend to follow the crowd, Israel have accepted the positive report, they would have had to expose themselves to great danger. Our human nature always wants to take it easy way out. And this opens up the doors of transfer of spirits. Revealing transfer of spirits of an evil spirit. Let's look at this. To prevent the transfer of an evil spirit, control your own spirit. You have to teach your child to control your own spirit and keep the armor. Do you teach your children the armor of God that the spirits won't be transferred upon them? Do the father cover the child with the blood of Jesus, with the covering of him as prophet, priest, and king? Guard your ears. Do you teach your children to guard their ears? Guard your tongue, according to Proverbs 10:19. Guard your eyes. Do you teach your kid that? Because the eyes is the window of the soul. And what they got on the internet now, and what I saw this Najee guy from Atlanta, Georgia, was ridiculous. And I'm going to tell you, these children are listening to stuff that is doing very serious danger to them. Very serious danger to them. These spirits are being transferred. Transfer of spirits is the same as the transfiguration in Matthew 7:1. Transfigured mean to change into another form. Jesus appeared, was transformed with his inner glory shining and blittering out. He transferred that power from God to Jesus, and the apostles saw it. That's powerful. So, yes, transfer of spirits is biblical. Protect your children. Guard your children. You don't want your children to have unclean spirits. You want to get them out of your child. You don't want your child to grow up the way you grow up. You want to get a better life for them. And that better life is to know the word of God, know the knowledge of God, and know the ministry of deliverance so that your children can be free of all unclean spirits. We want to thank you for listening to us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. It's been a blessing. We will be back on tomorrow. We will be doing another segment of Transfer of Spirits. And I also want to share something before I go concerning something that's very, very important I need to share and is here. Curses. Children can come under curse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Children can come under curses. And I wanted to show that to you before we close. If I got time, I'm on a time basis, but I got to do some deliverance. So give me time here. Let me go through this. Teach your child about their eyes or what they're watching. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. That go to children too. 1 John 2:15. Children can get that too. Amen. Now, there are a list of curses that I had And I wanted to briefly, if I have time, I may have to do it next week because I think I'm running out of time. Wait 1 minute. The Bible, biblical curses that children can come under. And not only children, that all of us can come under, biblical curses. A curse should not come without a cause. Teach your child that. Break curses off your child. Those who curse or misuse Jews, teach your child don't say nothing bad about Jewish people. Deuteronomy 27:26, Genesis 27:29, Genesis 12:3, Numbers 24:9. Those who are willing deceivers, deceiving people, teach your child not to deceive people. That brings curses. Joshua 9:23, Jeremiah 48:10, Malachi 1:14, Genesis 27:12. Adultery opens up doors for curses to children. Numbers 5:27. Disobeying the Lord's commandments. Deuteronomy 11:28, Daniel 9:11, Jeremiah 11:13, idolatry, Jeremiah 44:8, Deuteronomy 29:19, Exodus 20:5, Deuteronomy 5:8-9. Those who keep cursed objects in their house, don't let your child bring dolls from overseas and out of the country, foreign objects. Get the Indian Kuru gods out the house, upside down crosses, rock music. Don't have your children getting into any of that because you're going to really open up the doors to the occult with your children. Don't let them have unks on their necklace, African unks, upside down crosses. Don't let them paint their nails black. Black represent darkness. Witches do that. And you guys see young people got their eyes painted black and their nails look black. Those are satanic colors. Stay away from that because cursed objects brings curses. Deuteronomy 7:25, Joshua 6:18. Those who refuse to come to the Lord's help. Judges 5:23, house of the wicked. Proverbs 3:33, he who gives not to the poor. Proverbs 28:27, the earth by reason of man's disobedience brings curses. Isaiah 24:3-6, Jerusalem is a curse on all Jews if Jews rebel against God. Jeremiah 26:2-6, that's in the Bible. Thieves and those who swear falsely by the Lord. You get children, Lord Jesus Christ, and they just cuss. I've seen children cuss like a soldier. I said, Lord have mercy. It comes from the parents. Go look at the parents. Don't look at the child. Look where it starts. It comes from the parents. I, myself, know the parents. Our fathers are sin. You bore their iniquities. Parents, do your job. The children don't know this. It's up to you to teach them. Amen. Those who rob God of the tithe and offerings, Malachi 3:8-9, Haggai 1:6-9. Those who hearken unto their wives rather than God, Genesis 3:17. Those who like to esteem their parents, disrespect their parents, that's a curse, Deuteronomy 27:16. God bless you here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. Please sow a seed to hear. We're going to open the mic for two men. Come join us at 646-348-1857, option number one. We're going to go in the room and open up the mic. We're going to have some questions and answers if those would like to do that. If you would like to give here to Live Deliverance Internet Radio, please go to www.livedeliverance.com. Look at the lower left-hand side of your lower left-hand side of the PayPal. And sow a seed to us at Live Deliverance at www.livedeliverance.com. We have a 24-hour-a-day internet radio. Please jump on it. We lost a lot of audience because everybody was jumping to YouTube. Go back to www.livedeliverance.com. Shalom. Come join us in the room right now. God bless, and we're going to go into the Blog Talk room. Good night. Stand by. All right, we're going to open this up with Chaplain John Durden. You got the mic, Chaplain Durden.
It was very exceptional, and I can say it's very exceptional because, first of all, even though what we heard came out of your mouth, we really know where it came from, the Holy Spirit. Like some of you probably a first-time listening kind of thing, you wonder, how in the world did that young man can teach profoundly like he did? He can say something, and then he can give you 10, 15 scriptures that concern that one subject he might be talking about at the moment. And so I just want to share with you that is he isn't copying off anything. I'm here in Atlanta, Georgia, and he's in another county. He lives in Jamaica now, and I'm not writing anything for him. He was spitting that stuff out left and right, and that was the Holy Spirit. He was repeating what the Holy Spirit was telling him, and that's what I'm striving for. You know, like that young man didn't get it cheaply. You know, when he rededicated his life to the Lord, and God told me to bring him into the hospital with me, and he was sitting in my assistant's chaplain's office, and that fellow just sat there and read that Bible from 9 in the morning to 5 that afternoon every day. And then the Lord led him to fast, and that young man for 3 long years fasted on Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays. In other words, he ate on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, but on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, no food whatsoever. At midnight of Friday, that's when he would go into the cafeteria and grab up all the food because he hadn't eaten for 3 days. It took him because every Friday we about to leave the hospital around about 4 or 5. He stopped at the cafeteria and hit bags and bags and bags of food and spend the weekend eating up all that food. That was really gorgeous. But what you heard was a presentation from the Holy Spirit spoken through the mouth of Brother Emmett. Let me repeat that. I didn't write that. Ain't nobody else wrote that, and I don't know it that exceptional. I'll be lying. I'm not going to try to steal the glory from the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit. You heard him when he was talking. He shouted out those scriptures. Some he even communicated, articulated what the scripture said, and everything else. That's his anointing. God doesn't look at how many degrees we have, and that's proven in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He didn't use none of those theologians there back in those days because those guys back there were full of pride, wearing all these jewelry all on his finger and these robes and everything, sitting at the high place every time they go to a meeting, go someplace kind of thing. God wants somebody humble. That's what he can teach. And then lastly, God says, when God led me to lay hands on him so he can be anointed to preach the word, God said, I didn't call you for a showcase. I called you to teach my words. But God saw his heart. God saw his spirit. But he went through 3 years of fasting every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and he was dedicated. And so God says, I'm Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. Don't refer to me just Jesus. He says, I am Jesus of Nazareth. So there's another Jesus mentioned in the Bible. The other Jesus, the one who teaches that there's no tongue, there's no this, there's no gifts, there's no all that's dead. That's the other Jesus. The Jesus we praise and worship is the one Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I want to be known as Jesus of Nazareth, not just Jesus. So somebody just say Jesus and Jesus and Jesus, Jesus. They don't believe in nothing, hardly. But what you heard was presentation by the Holy Spirit. God bless you. I just got through, brother.
Okay. Pastor Baker, you got the mic.
Yes, definitely. I would say the word is always on point, especially when this comes from Apostle Emmett Overton with the gift of word and knowledge and discernment. I would encourage also everyone who's listening, who is parents, I would encourage you to feed on this message, to not just listen to it one time, but to also just continue to listen to it. Feed your spirit, feed your understanding as you seek for yourself. Also, the wisdom of the Lord, how to go about dealing with children. It's vitally important to watch how what our children are being exposed to, especially with the influence that's going on today. There's so much Antichrist influence today that is so available to these days as well through TV, social media, schools, anything. It's so available. So we really have to, as godly parents, really have to take pride because it's really intensifying. It's really intensifying. It's like I see a lot of young people are becoming more and more victims every day. They get younger and younger. You know, when I was coming up, we never thought we'd hear about a 14-year-old, a 10-year-old, 11-year-old who are talking about, 11-year-old boy talking about he want to be a girl, or a girl want to be a boy, and the parents are supporting it. You know, so it's very anti-Christ spirit out here today. You really have to protect your children. And understand your children not going to understand it. They're not going to understand everything. But it's for their own greater good, and you're not going to get a lot of people not going to like you for it. But you got to stand on what God says and not the world's and society's agenda. You know, because at the end of the day, it's very destructive. It's destructive mentally, destructive physically, and spiritually. And then at the end of the day, we got to give an account for Christ. It's not God. If it's not God's way, don't go that way. Don't go that path. Don't feed on that. So I really encourage parents to really feed on this message over and over again. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom, the understanding, you know, discernment, you know, to raising your children. You know, and if you don't know how, the Holy Spirit will help you. Trust me, he will. The Lord teaching me every day how to deal with my children. You know, teaching me things about myself, things I shouldn't do with my children that I would think would be the right way, but and the intentions could be right, but it can also it can be a little too over aggressive sometimes, or over too much, and the devil can really use those areas where we're ignorant at as a loophole for him to get in. So that's why I really believe it's very important for us to have the discernment, have the Holy Spirit to really help us with raising our children, because God has a purpose and a plan for our children. You know, he does, and also the devil as well. He has one as well, but it's our responsibility to lead them in the way they should go. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank everybody. Did everybody learn something tonight?
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Amen. Amen. All right, Captain Durden, close out in prayer.
Father, we come before you now in the precious name of Jesus, giving you all the praise and the glory. Father God, we thank you for the teaching tonight that you gave us. There are many of us who need to hear that, Father, and we shall all appreciate it. And we give you all the glory and the praise, Father, even through the spokesperson. We thank you for having obedient son such as Brother Emmett, who loves you with all his heart. And we love you too, Father. We just ask that you just teach us, and we promise just to be obedient as much as we can. We love you. We love Jesus, and we love the Holy Spirit, Father. We appreciate your love and your sacrificial of your son, Jesus, and the giving of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. We thank you for the Trinity. And it's in Jesus' name we pray that sermon tonight, or that teaching tonight, have touched many hearts, give us different views of what about the Spirit of God, how he moves, how he can move on individuals and have them to say what he wants them to say, and how he can move in teaching them and giving them understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. And we just appreciate it. We thank you, Father, and we give the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, of all the glory and the praise. And it is his name only, Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for sunshine. Thank you for rain. Thank you for joy. Thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. Open the light. There's a light. We know a light, so let's make it right. It's a beautiful day. Yeah, it's a beautiful day. Hey.
today a smile. Cause today I got a new lease on life. Today I became wise. Cause I realized I was wasting time. Spent many years living on the surface. Never took the time to go deeper in your service. I know the problem wasn't you, it was me. Every day living my life, trying to be man's desire. But today now became your day. Because my plan became your way. Jesus, your attention is now my faith. Every other thing became vain. Jesus, you're the reason why I sing this song. My life, I place it in your hands, Lord. I don't care if people understand. You're my number one. You're my number one. About negativity, which is less than the good things that surround me. No time to worry because the challenge is fate. In God I depend, so I just have to wait. If he comes through today, praises me to his name. He don't, guess what, he remains the same. My faith is growing stronger day by day. And I don't care no matter what people may say.
Jesus,
you're the reason why I sing this song. God, you are the best. Your love and faithfulness, you come in my defense. In you I'm confident. Your grace is sufficient. Through dangers and distress, I'll worship you, Almighty. I'll worship you,
Jesus. Your love endures forever.
Yeah,
forever.
Awesome, we call you Lord, so wonderful and great.
thought that Christianity has a remedy that I could use to live my life clean. But every time I walk, I just keep falling down. Living in my righteousness just kept me on the ground. Then I realized that God was right there waiting on me, saying, son, turn it over to me, turn it over to me. I wanna dwell in your presence so I can feel so strong. I wanna seek your face and not your nail-scarred hands. I wanna live for you until my days are done. Holy, oh, holy, holy, holy. I try to sit and reason with the Lord, why he didn't take the sinful part of my flesh. He told me that the reason why it's there is to let me know that I am in perfect. He wants me to stay on my knees like a father. He wants to mold me and make me. I'll always be the clay. So mold me and make me and do what you say. Jesus, you're perfect. That is what I need. Oh, I will set you apart for pleasure to stay right at your feet. Oh, oh Lord, please fight my battles for me. Oh Lord, fight for me. Please fight for me. Oh, I want to dwell in your presence so I can feel so strong. Garden. I want to live for you until my days are done. Holy, 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 holy. Lord, I want to worship you, live with you, give my life completely.
Let work harder. In the end, it will get better.
Lord, I thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day.
Please don't put the fire.
One name that's bound to feature prominently. Derek Prince. A humble man and a world-class Bible scholar, his steadfast commitment to God and obedience to the Holy Spirit turned him into one of the most loved and respected Bible teachers of his time. For over six decades, Derek Prince's life-changing Bible teaching became a source of inspiration to millions of Christians around the world. Derek Prince was born into a British military family in Bangalore, India, in 1915. At the age of 14, he won a scholarship to Eton, and, later on, a place at Cambridge. Having excelled in his studies, Derek was elected to a prestigious fellowship in ancient and modern philosophy at King's College, Cambridge, the youngest person ever to be elected to that position. Derek's academic career was interrupted abruptly by World War II. In 1940, on the basis of his philosophical convictions, he chose to join the Royal Army Medical Corps as a non-combatant. Despite declaring at the time that religion doesn't do much for me, Derek took a Bible with him to read on his postings, considering it to be a philosophical work. At first, the Bible made little sense to him. But as he continued to read his Bible in an army barrack in Yorkshire in July 1941, God opened Derek's eyes. On that day, God taught him two crucial lessons that remained with him for the rest of his life. Recalling that supernatural experience, he says,
I heard the voice of Jesus speaking very, very clearly through the scriptures, the Bible. And from the day that I heard his voice till this day, there are two things I've never doubted. I've never doubted that Jesus is alive, and I've never doubted that the Bible is the Word of God.
Almost immediately after his powerful conversion, Derek Prince was shipped off to North Africa, where he spent 3 years serving as an army medic and being discipled in God's Word in the deserts of Egypt, Libya, and the Sudan. At the end of the war, Derek was discharged in Jerusalem, where he met and married a Danish missionary, Lydia Christensen. In doing so, he became a father of 8 girls, whom Lydia had adopted. Derek and Lydia lived in Jerusalem until after the founding of the State of Israel in 1948. It was there he felt the calling to both serve and pray for God's people, the children of Israel. It was a calling he passed on to countless others. In late 1948, as the newborn State of Israel struggled for survival, the princes reluctantly left Jerusalem and moved to England, where Derek became a pastor of a small Pentecostal church in central London. As he ministered in London and later on in Kenya and in the United States, Derek sensed that all was not how it should be and could be in the lives of Christian believers. He saw how many Christians often struggle to rise above the challenges of everyday life. That's why he constantly encouraged those he ministered to that they should get closer to God through Bible reading and prayer. In the early 1960s, while pastoring a church in Seattle, Washington, Derek was thrust into ministering God's deliverance after being confronted by a demonic manifestation right in front of his pulpit. As time went on, more and more people wanted to hear Derek Prince open up the scriptures to them and help them know more of the power of God. The ever-growing demand for Derek Prince's insights on audio and video cassettes as well as books led to the opening of the Derek Prince Publications Office in Fort Lauderdale, Florida in 1971. In 1975, Lydia died after nearly 30 years of fruitful marriage and ministry with Derek. The loss was devastating for Derek, but he began to work and travel more than ever. A couple of years later, while in Jerusalem, Derek prayed for a woman named Ruth Baker, who had seriously injured her back. Over time, the Lord revealed to Derek that he was to marry Ruth, whom he hardly knew. Following much prayer and testing, Derek and Ruth were married in 1978, and the Lord launched them into a new phase of ministry together. This new phase was marked by the launch of the first daily radio broadcast, Today with Derek Prince, which initially aired on 8 stations in the United States. The word God gave to Derek about using radio for ministry was, proclaim, short, simple messages, easily understood, declaring basic scriptural truths. Today, Derek's radio broadcasts, books, and internet-based resources reach millions of Christians around the globe in over 100 languages. Derek and Ruth Prince continue to minister in many nations as the demand for Derek's teaching increased tremendously until Ruth passed away in December 1998. In the autumn of 2003, Derek Prince died in his beloved Jerusalem, his home for nearly 20 years. He was 88 and left behind a wonderful legacy. To those who had the privilege of knowing him, he left an inspiring example, one of yieldedness to God, love for the church, a heart for Israel, and a roaring passion to see God's people walk in the fullness of the freedom that Christ has purchased for them. To all of us, he left an invaluable treasure of biblical insights in books, articles, sermons, letters, and audiovisual recordings. Derek Prince is the author of more than 50 books, 600 audio and 100 video teaching messages, many of which have been translated and published in more than 100 languages. He pioneered teaching on such groundbreaking topics as generational curses, the biblical significance of Israel, and demonology. In 2002, he said, "It is my desire, and I believe the Lord's desire, that this ministry continue the work which God has begun through me over 60 years ago until Jesus returns." Today, Derek Prince Ministries continues to combat spiritual hunger by resourcing church leaders, Bible college graduates, and millions of Christians in over 140 countries with Derek's life-changing Bible teaching, fulfilling the mandate to keep on until Jesus returns. This is accomplished through the outreaches of more than 45 Derek Prince offices around the world, including primary work in Australia, Canada, China, France, Germany, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Russia, South Africa, Switzerland, the United Kingdom, and the United States. It's amazing to consider all that God has done thus far since speaking to Derek shortly after his conversion in 1941, saying,
"It shall be like a little stream. The little stream shall become a river. The river shall become a great river. The great river shall become a sea. The sea shall become a mighty ocean.